begotten, not made, being of substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. This is the summation of this entire section. In case you missed it on what they said in the first part, they wanted to make sure that there were no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Being of one substance. Christ and God are the same substance. They are the same. This is declaring to all the false teachings, to all the heretics that were about, this is declaring Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. He wasn't made. He was begotten before all of eternity. Jesus was, he is, and he shall be. It wasn't just his birth. But they want to talk about his birth. Next. He was conceived, the Apostles' Creed says, he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. The Nicene Creed says, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made man. They added to it a little bit, but it's... Kevin, did I miss a slide? Let me see my next slide. I did. Okay. Go back. Thank you. I did miss a slide. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made man. Once they established that Jesus was God in the flesh, fully man, fully God, not a spirit and not just a man. Once they established that, they go on to say the purpose of his ministry, why this was done. This was done for us men and for our salvation. It was done for our salvation. Next slide. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Who? Who? It says who? Who for us men? Who? It's not asking a question who. It's making the statement. It's a continuation statement. They just described who Jesus was. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. Who, okay, who, Jesus the Lord, the only begotten, before our words, God of God, light of light. You got the picture. Next. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. This was for all of us and for all of our salvation. Now, I do know, I'm going to take a little step back. I do know at one point in time in this church, we used to say, who for us and our salvation. And we now say, who for us men and for our salvation. Okay? It is saying the exact same thing. Who for us. Or who for us men. It's not that the women are excluded. The word men there is mankind. Okay? But it's truer to the version from Nicaea. When they us was something that kind of slipped in through the ages, through time. Okay? So I don't know all the logistics of that. I wasn't asked my theological input in that particular thing. But, so I don't really know why they felt we needed to do it, but we did, so this is the one that we use. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made man. Next, for our ability to be saved. This is the heart of the Christian message. This is the heart of who we are. Jesus came for salvation. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The understanding now from this creed is not only did he give his only son, he gave himself. Because Jesus is God. So it's even beyond just giving something of himself. He gave himself, one substance with the Father, light of light, very God from very God. God gave himself for our salvation. Wow, that's just mind-blowing to me. It's I know it's all powerful. I know it's all good, but it even kicks it to another level for me. That God, eternally God, came into our world to make a way for us to be reconciled with him by giving his life for us. It's unbelievable. Next, he made a way where there was no way. I've already been there, right? Okay. Who for us men and for our salvation. Luke 1:35. You go, Luke. Sorry, my Bible only has one thing, and I took out some papers, and I had them all marked, but all right, Luke chapter 1, verse 35. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. This one's going to get to somebody I know. 35. The angel answered. Oh, this is when the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a child. In verse 34, how would this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is the first time the creed introduces the Holy Spirit. And later on in the creed, it goes into a deeper definition of the belief, what we believe about the Holy Spirit. But right now, what this is saying is, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. All right, now we got to go back to that word begotten. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, placed that was with him through all eternity, placed it in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus, the man that we recognize that died on the cross, Jesus, God in the flesh, was begotten by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, because men begat, women give birth. So here is where God really entered mankind, was in the womb of the Virgin Mary, where God took himself and merged it with mankind and became man. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Next. He who was begotten before all things was seated by the Holy Spirit into the womb of the Virgin Mary and was born into this world as a man. Some of us get a little shaky over the talk about the Virgin Mary in some churches. Joseph. Yeah, there's a baby in the hallway. Okay, I'll just say it. Some of us get a little shaky about talking about the Virgin Mary. And I got to be honest with you, in some circumstances, depending on how the conversation goes, I am one of them. Okay? But when the angel came to Mary, he said, blessed are you among women. Blessed you, Mary, you individually, Mary. You are blessed above all women. That's how the angel declared it. There was something about Mary that God deemed good enough, special enough, blessed, wanted to bless her enough to use her as the carrier of his only begotten son or himself. I don't know about Mariology. I'm not into it personally. Okay? But I am going to say this. There is something about Mary that no other woman in time, before, now, or later, has ever experienced. And she is to be blessed. And she is to be honored. Some teachings take it as far as co-redemptress, that she is our redeemer with Jesus. Okay? I don't go there. But I will say this. She was blessed among all women. And she is to be honored. I don't know how we're supposed to honor her. I don't know what I'm comfortable with. I just know I'm supposed to. Okay? The Theotokos. Yeah. Right, the carrier. The Theotokos, the mother of God. That's why, how many of you driving down I-4 have seen the cathedral, Queen of the Universe. It's a Catholic church. Yeah, no, it's a Catholic church, and we get offended when we see that. She's the Queen of the Universe. Okay. Well, she carried God. She was the Theotokos. Thank you. My granddaughter Jocelyn can say that word. When she was 4, she called me one day, said, "Poppy, guess what?" I go, "What? Did you know that Mary was the Theotokos of God?" And I go, "Yes." Okay. Now, this is the next interesting thing about the creed. We just get done defining who Jesus was, where he came from, and how he got here. The creed just defined all that. And then it totally ignores 33 years of his life. The creed totally ignores 33 years of his life to then go on to his death and resurrection. So they first establish God Almighty, the Father, maker of heaven and earth. And then they talk about Jesus, his Son, our Lord, the only begotten Son, and how he was born, and then silent on the 33 years of ministry to how he died and rose again. You're probably wondering why. Well, it's very simple. Those 33 years only prove the first section and the second section. So they're in their minds, in writing the creed, it was a redundancy. He spent 33 years proving who he was by miracles, giving sight to the blind, by his teaching, preparing them for his death, preparing them for his resurrection so it wouldn't take them by surprise. It didn't really work out well, but that was what he was doing for those 33 years. And the creed remains silent on that, goes right into the Apostles' Creed. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. Nicene Creed says, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. The first thing I want to note here is notice it says, was crucified also for us. Okay, why is the word also there? Also means there was something else they said that they wanted to make sure you tied the two together. Who for us men and for our salvation and was crucified also for us. So not only was he born for us, he died for us. You see how they were tying that in together? Huh? I don't know. Kevin?
He wasn't on that committee.
Yeah, I wasn't on that. They didn't ask my input. Yeah, no. Because look at, he suffered under, well, I don't know. I don't know how it was worded in the original, in the original one. It's all Greek to me anyway. So, also was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. Next. Once the creed had established who Jesus was and how he got here, it then goes right to his mission and how he fulfilled it. There is a great continuity to the creed. Okay? And there is, if you really take time to look at the creed line by line, understanding that every Sunday when you say it, you are saying, this is what defines me. This is what holds me together. This is the glue that my faith is stuck to. I believe the creed can come alive for us. And I believe it's more than just a prayer that we say because we're a sacramental church or that we're a liturgical church. I believe it is a creed that should ooze out of us every day of our life. Every time we're approached with something that comes in conflict with this, the intent of saying the creed over and over and over again is just like why a boxer trains and trains and trains, and his trainer stands there and throws punches and he ducks and he throws punches and he ducks. So when he's in the ring, when the fight really counts, he's on automatic pilot. He's doing what he put into himself, what he rehearsed, what he practiced. So at the day of the battle, he's ready to respond with everything that he needs to get away from the punches and the blows of his opponent. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be getting this into us with full understanding. So when we hit an issue in life that hits us right between the eyes, it hits us right in the gut and takes our breath away, that what comes out of us is something like this, that we proclaim the faith that holds us together, that we proclaim what we believe. You're going to love this next slide. Next week, week four, you're going to love it because it's the last one. Week four. Now we're going to talk about the resurrection, ascension, and return, because the creed addresses that. The resurrection, ascension, and return. This is a small section of the creed, but I'm going to expand on it a little bit, okay? Because there is a section of the creed that's not on a slide, but I'm going to read it to you. There's a and he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. We all have a teaching, an opinion, what we think his coming in glory is going to look like. People have written books, done movies, have moved, sold everything, moved to the hills, got compounds, because this is one of the most this is one of the most misunderstood things, I believe, in our faith, is the return of the Lord. We're going to spend a little time on that next week, and really departing a little bit from this teaching. And then the following week, we're going to dig into the Holy Spirit and talk about what the creed says about the Holy Spirit. So, anyway, thank you all very much for your time, for being here.